نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أم حسبت أن أصحاب الكهف والرقيم كانوا من آياتنا عجبا الحمد لله tonight we completed the 15 juz of the Quran and there is a question that the kuffar posed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the disbelievers throughout time have posed to the different Anbiya. And up to today we have those that do not believe in the concept of being brought to life after having passed away. وَقَالُوا أَإِذَا كُنَّا عِظَامًا وَرُفَاتًا أَإِنَّا لَمَبْعُوثُونَ خَلْقًا جَدِيدًا They asked that after we pass away and we decompose and our bones become dust, will we be recreated again? Will we be recreated once again? فَسَيَقُولُونَ مَنْ يُعِيدُنَا They ask that who will be the one that recreates us? قُلِ الَّذِي فَطَرَكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ The response was that the person that created you the first time round will be responsible for recreating you once again after you pass away. So, in tonight's Taraweeh, we read Suratul Kahf. And we will discuss one incident from here wherein a community of people began to question this concept of being brought to life after death. It was in the time or after the time of Isa alayhi salam before the coming of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam according to the majority of the jurists that this incident occurred. And we are very familiar with this incident. It is the incident of the people of the cave, Al-Kahf. Suratul Kahf is a magnificent, a great surah. It is mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that whoever recites the first 10 verses and last 10 verses of Suratul Kahf will be protected from the fitna of Dajjal. That person that memorizes the first and the last 10 verses, they are great virtues for that person. The person that recites the first or last 10 verses or the whole surah on the day of Jumu'ah will be protected from fitna till the next week, including the coming of Dajjal during that time. It is mentioned that when the surah was revealed, it was revealed all at once, and 70,000 malaika came down with the surah bearing testament to its magnificence. The Quraysh of Makkah posed three questions to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam after going to the Jews of Medina and trying to ask them about the description of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in their books, in an effort to try and find some sort of poke some holes in the nubuwwat, in the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they went to the Jews of Medina and they asked them about the description of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam because they mentioned that they had someone that had come to them who claimed to be the last prophet of Allah. So the Jews mentioned that you can ask him three questions, and if he's able to answer, then you know that he is the true prophet, the true Nabi of Allah. So amongst these questions, the first was they asked him about the people, the sleepers of the cave, Ashabul Kahf, who we will discuss. The second question was about that personality that moved from the east to the west, who we know as Dhulqarnain. And the third question was about the ruh, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْرُوحِ The ruh, the soul. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gave the responses to these three questions in succession. When the Quraysh of Makkah asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about these three questions, he responded to them that I will give you the reply tomorrow, failing to mention insha'Allah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. And he thought that between that time and the next day, wahi would come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he would give them the answer. But the next day came, and the next day and the day after came, and no wahi came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they began to taunt him, to say that you were going to give us the answer the next day, yet so many days have passed. In fact, a total amount of 15 days passed before the response came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And amongst one of the verses in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَلَا تَكُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ That if you intend to do something tomorrow, don't say that I will do it, except that you include Insha'Allah is part of it. So this is a lesson for each and every one of us. So the three questions were posed, and Rasulullah ﷺ gave the response to these three questions. And we will discuss one of the responses, which is with regards to the people of the cave, Ashabul Kahf. Kahf means a spacious cave. Our Mufti A.K. Hussain Saab, Damat Barakatum, mentioned when he was here that Ghar is a narrow cave. The example that he gave was of Rasulullah ﷺ and Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu an, that were in a narrow cave during the Hijrah. And he also mentioned the example of Kahf, which is a spacious cave, which refers to the people of the cave in this particular surah. Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Saab rahmatullah alayhi mentions, discussing this incident, that it occurred approximately 250 years after the time of Isa alayhi salam, around the year 250 AD. And in the Quran it is mentioned that the people of the cave slept there for approximately 300 years, which means that they woke up and the incident of them waking up, etc., was approximately 550 AD, which was about 20 years before the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Now the people of the cave, the story is extremely lengthy, but they were in a community of people who were supposed to be Christians, but they began worshipping idols and taking other deities as gods. And the people of the cave then moved away. These were young people, and they became upset with the actions of the people in their community, the shirk that they were committing. So they decided to leave, and they took refuge in this cave. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused them to sleep for approximately 300 years. It is mentioned that at that time, the king who was responsible for driving them out had issued a decree that this young group of people, we will kill them if they do not come back onto the religion that we are following. And it is mentioned that in one of the narrations that he inscribed on a tablet the names of these people, so that if they were found subsequent to that particular time, they would be arrested and they would be killed. And some narrations mentioned that أَمْ حَسِبْتَ أَنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْكَهْفِ وَالرَّقِيمِ. We talk about the people of the cave and we talk about people of Ar-Raqim. In some narrations it is mentioned that Ar-Raqim refers to this very tablet. So these people go into the cave and they sleep, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates conditions whereby the sun does not come onto them directly, so it does not cause them to become disfigured. When anybody came to the cave to see them, it appeared as if they were awake. وَتَحْسَبُهُمْ أَيْقَاظًا وَهُمْ رُقُودٍ, that you would see them and you would think them to be awake, but in fact they were fast asleep. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed a dog in front of them, and it was such that if anybody came there, then they would flee away. So these people slept for approximately 300 years, and then when they woke up, they asked each other that how long do you think we slept for? So one person said, you know, we slept for a day or part of a day. Another said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Nevertheless, they sent one person out into the town to go and find some food because they were now extremely hungry. So this person goes into the town and he goes into a store and he tries to purchase some food from the store, but he is obviously using currency that is totally outdated. 300 years old, so he tries to purchase the food. The person that is there realizes that something is amiss, and they then alert the authorities. After doing some investigations, they realize that this particular coin was from the dynasty which was approximately 300 years ago. And then they continue to do the investigations. The king of the time is an extremely pious, God-fearing monotheist, and he has read in the scriptures, or he has read in the historical archives of this particular incident where a few people left the community approximately 300 years ago, and their whereabouts were not known. And in fact, at that particular time, as we mentioned in the beginning, this community was having doubts with respect to resurrection after death. There was a group from amongst them that had broken away and that were creating doubts about this concept of being brought to life after death. So the king had been making fervent dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to create the conditions that these people would be able to understand the reality of being brought to death after life. So, being brought to life after death. So after doing these investigations and meeting this individual that was there, they then discover that these were the people that had left their community 300 years ago. They went to sleep in the, or they went into this cave and they slept. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused them figuratively to die for a period of 300 years. And He has now brought them back to life without any disfiguring on their clothes, on their bodies, etc. And alhamdulillah, as a result of this incident, the community was now reassured with this concept of being brought to life after death. Surah Al-Kahf also discusses the incident of Dhul-Qarnayn, who was a pious ruler that moved from the east to the west. Inshallah, we will be reading about that tomorrow. And the third question that was posed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ, he was asked about the ruh, the soul. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructs him, قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي وَمَا أُوْتِيتُم مِنَ الْعِلْمِ شَيْئًا إِلَّا قَلِيلًا, that I do not know too much about this, except that the ruh is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we find that in this particular incident, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given the answer to these questions. And despite having been given the answer to these questions, and all of this effort that had the Quraysh had gone through, we find that they still did not bring iman upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. As mentioned, Surah Al-Kahf is an extremely magnificent surah. It is a surah that we should try and read every week, especially on a Friday. Those of us that have the capacity should at least memorize the first or the last 10 verses, or at least the entire surah. It is mentioned that whoever memorizes the first or last 10 verses will have a light that will shine from his feet up to his head. And that person that memorizes the entire surah will have a light that will shine from the earth all the way up to the heavens. So it is a very great surah. And in addition to that, one of the important things is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed certain surahs for us to recite on a regular basis. Suratul Kahf on a Friday, Surah Yasin daily, Surah Mulk in the evening, Suratul Waqi'ah, Surah Alif Lam Mim Sajda. One is for us to physically recite these surahs, but more importantly is for us to get in touch with the meaning of these surahs. That there must be a reason why we are going to recite these surahs every day. And when we recite these surahs every day, the lessons that we will find in these surahs will inshallah be a source of guidance for us. So for those of us that have the ability, the time, etc., we should make this niyat that we try and understand verse by verse all of these surahs. And inshallah over a period of time, we will find that as we read these surahs regularly, the meaning will also be very clear to us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.